Fiddling Around on 96.1 The Hound.
My fiddle teacher, he works at Moorhead in the traditional music program. He was like, you need to come check this out.
This was a place on campus where if you saw another person in that building, you knew that they were in that building for the same reason you were, and it's because they want to make music with you, and they love living in that space. But when you reach back into these older tunes and these older songs, they are also now sitting in your circle. And so you get to bring in what you have and who you are in that moment, but you're also sitting with these people who have caretaken these songs and loved these songs into being the songs that they are now. And it's cool to know that you're part of that process, and it's not living in the past, and it's not trying to innovate for the future. It's just being present, and what will happen will happen.
Howdy, y'all. You're listening to Fiddlin' Around on 96.1 The Hound, and I am so happy to be joined today in the studio by Violet and the newsroom. Do y'all want to go around and introduce yourselves real quick?
Hi, I'm Violet Updike, and I am the fiddle player for Violet and the newsroom.
Hi there, everybody. My name is Peyton Burns, and I am the guitar player they decided to bring along today.
We joke that we're calling ourselves the Committee on Committees of Violet in the Newsroom. Yeah. Because we have a full ensemble arrangement. My name is Annabelle Peterman. I play upright bass with Violet in the Newsroom. We joke around that I'm called Room.
And I'm called News. I'm Clay Wallace.
And they're sat on the couch over there together. It's perfect.
We're just hanging out. News and Room. I'm Clay Wallace. I play Mountain Dulcimer. And that was nicknamed to us when we were down doing an event in Martin, the city, not Martin, the county. We were playing at something, and this sweet man came over and was talking to us, and he said, now which of you is News and which of you is Room? And somehow we automatically knew which one was which.
Yeah, it was like it was predetermined.
Mm. He very much agreed with your all's choices.
I mean, I think we were right.
Yeah. The vibe is absolutely there.
Frosty morning.
We're Violet in the Newsroom, featuring Peyton Burns as well.
It's a pleasure to be here and play some good music with everybody, and yeah, play some good old-time country music and try to warm us all up on this cold day. Yeah.
This song is a fiddle tune that has originated out of the Canadian region. There's a whole story around it that Ukpik means snowy owl, and in the Inuit tribe, there is a belief that if you are alone and you hear an owl, a snowy owl, an ukpik, hooting for you. It's very morbid, but you are the next person to pass away. It became a funeral song there, and it's always been very, like, melancholic to me, and I think that it's a great send-off for anyone. One of my favorite waltzes to play. So, this is Ukpik Waltz.
Thank you.
Next up, we're playing our Stephen Foster medley, Kentucky Pride.
First time we all met each other was, we were in the old time band together. That was, your first semester at Morehead, Violet. But we were all in old time band together, and we kind of pitched this to each other. I think we played this. We came up with it first semester.
I was, very willing to do it, because I was like, cool, I already have the song memorized, because literally the semester prior in high school, we did a choral arrangement of this in our choir that Callie was also in. Shout out. It's become just kind of like a staple.
Just to give everybody that's listening an idea of the type of music we're playing, the instruments that we have here is Clay Wallace is on the, what would you call it, the mountain dulcimer?
Yeah, mountain dulcimer.
Mountain dulcimer. Annabelle Peterman is on the upright bass. Violet Updike is on the fiddle. And me,
Peyton Burns,
am on the six-string flat-top guitar. These are the tools that make this kind of music that is, traditional to, where we live. So.
And we typically don't have a guitar. Peyton, we're very grateful that he has decided to join us today.
Anytime.
It's fun to have this full band.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's do some Stephen Foster.
For coming in. I've been friends with Violet for a long, long time, and we went to high school together, and the fact that I got into bluegrass and she's been part of the old time community for a long time, it's just a perfect storm to have this wonderful day we've been having here playing music. But, oh my gosh, what a winter storm we've been having outside. Kentucky's kind of freaking out right now because we've got this snowstorm that's been lasting for about a week now, maybe a little bit more on this weekend. But how you holding up?
I always get quite nervous about, like, when it comes down to, like, hey, there's a chance we might lose power when it's caused by, like, ice and cold weather and sort of things because of my instruments.
Yes, that's the important thing. Who cares about power and houses?
Yeah, I'm like, who cares about me being warm? I need my instruments. Okay? The winter storm has just been, I've been listening to a lot of good music and stuff, but it's been mighty annoying.
It's a nice excuse to stay inside and get all cozy and rot a little bit, for sure.
Yeah, we're like bookended. So we're bookended between two winter storm advisories. We had the one on Sunday, and we've got another one. Here's me being the newsroom. We've got another one that kicks in at 4 a.m. tomorrow.
Ugh.
I don't live in Kentucky to get snow.
Yeah.
It's tragic, isn't it?
I actually used to joke about that. I said, you know, aside from living in Kentucky, growing up in Kentucky, liking Kentucky, the main reason I stay here is because I need at least one season that kills the mosquitoes. Cold enough to kill the mosquitoes, but not so cold that I have to shovel snow. And there's really just a narrow band.
It's really tough to stay in there.
And here you are.
But for now, we're doing okay. And I'm glad that you all were able to make it. But we're here to talk about old-time music. Oh, my gosh. Like, the name Fiddlin' Around has all been based around bluegrass and old-time. And I'm glad to finally get a genuine old-time band up in here. So thank you so much. What has your all's relationship been with old-time music? Of course, a lot of you all grew up in Kentucky and around the Appalachian region, but you know, sometimes that doesn't always mean that you're going to have a bluegrass spirit in your heart. Sometimes it comes to you a little later in life. So how did you all stumble upon a passion for bluegrass and old time?
I would say my experience with, like, my first sort of taste of old time music, I feel like is very similar to most people, their grandparents.
Mm.
And my grandpa was a really, really big fan of just bluegrass music. He didn't play, but he was just a big lover of it, and he really wanted me to learn. And I was always wanting to learn. And for my sixth birthday, I asked to learn how to play the violin. And I think I was definitely wanting to learn how to play fiddle. I just didn't know how, as a six-year-old, to express that I want to play how the fiddle players in the recordings that my grandpa played. Of, like, I wanted to play that rather than Bach.
And the Suzuki Bach stuff.
I learned Suzuki Method. But I can honestly thank Suzuki Method for building up a good ear.
Ear training
was very important for that. But I didn't fully start getting into, like, more, like, bluegrass and, like, fiddle until middle school. And I don't think I really fully started taking it. Like, it wasn't truly a humongous passion of mine until around COVID when I realized that was sort of my only type of way of being able to play music, because, like, you couldn't really meet for orchestra or choir.
Yeah, true.
Could learn how to play music with a group of people, and I realized that that was my preferred method of playing music.
Totally.
These
are the type of people you want to be playing music with. Yeah, I love it.
And I was very much pushed by my fiddle teacher in this old-time band I was in at the place I took lessons in middle school and high school. And he works at Moorhead in the traditional music program. He was like, you need to come check this out. He was like, I know you weren't planning on pursuing, like, music as your major, but please come here because I promise you it's not like most music majors. And it's not.
Yeah, and the rest is history. There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Met Annabelle and Clay and Peyton.
How'd you get into old time? I know you're a little bit of an addition for today, but I'd love to.
He's a gold star.
Gold star newsroom.
I am saying that I am so grateful that Peyton decided to join us today. He's a cool dude to play with, and I guess I'll introduce him as part of the newsroom really quick. But I first met Peyton over the summer in Frankfurt. There's an old time jam session that's led the first Thursday of every month by John Harrod, who collects fiddle tunes, has done this for decades, did it in conjunction, I think, in Berea was where he did this. And the first time I saw you play was there, and you have just been killing it. And so Thank we're just honored to have you play with us here today, and your guitar picking just keeps getting better and better.
And then, like, a month later, we were at, Clay and I were both at the Elliott County Fiddlers Convention over in Eastern Kentucky, and Payne goes up there and sings Rock Salt and Oats, and we were like, hey, he's really good.
Well, this is just perfect.
Well, I'm just so grateful, you know, to get to play with y'all today and to know you guys and, you know, bond with music, but As for my relationship with old time music, I have a very kind of weird relationship with it because I was born in Kentucky and I lived here until I was about six, and I was also in a military family, so I moved around a lot, and I grew up mostly in Germany, and you know, bluegrass and old time country music had been around me, you know, kind of in the shadows of my life, you know. As a kid, I'd listened to it, but never got really into it. My parents never listened to it. But while I was in Germany, I just randomly got, you know, some recommendations for, you know, music, bluegrass music over YouTube, and I just felt it was like a warm blanket was thrown over me. And
I like that.
I just felt such a kind of bond with it, and I felt like I was able to identify with it, and I got super interested in playing bluegrass guitar and mandolin, and I really just dove straight in, and I have not come out of the rabbit hole yet. but I came back here to Kentucky earlier this year, and I went to my first old time jam, and I think it was April, and within a couple of months, I knew that I wanted to go to Morehead State University for traditional music studies. And ever since then, I felt, you know, like this is what I'm meant to do. And, you know, I've met so many fantastic, wonderful people and learned so much. I mean, there's such a wealth of knowledge just in the old time and country music, you know, sphere. And the people around here, they know their stuff, and they're eager to share, and it's almost too much to take in sometimes, but, you know, I enjoy it, and it's the music I love, and, you know, I'm glad to be able to play it in Kentucky and, you know, be back where I'm at.
So. Totally. Well, welcome back. That's wonderful. That's you always find your way back to Kentucky. All roads lead to Kentucky. I think that's always what Tyler Childers said.
This is a fun fiddle tune called Roscoe. It is named after the person who made it. This guy learned it from Roscoe. Roscoe's from West Virginia. When he came back over to Kentucky, he had that song stuck in his head, and he was wanting to teach it to people, and he couldn't for the life of him remember what the name was. So he just named it after the guy who wrote it, which I'd say is pretty awesome.
One of the few old-time fiddle tunes that you'll find that we actually know who wrote it.
Exactly.
This is Roscoe.
going to do some singing on this one. I learned this song a little while ago, and I just really like how it sounds with all of us playing it, and so try our best at it. On the banks of the river, where the willows hang down, and the wild birds say warble with a low moaning sound, laid out in the hollow, where the water runs cold, that's where I first listened to the lies you told.
Story behind it or anything like that. I have been writing songs for quite a time now, and we do a couple of my originals together, and I'm hoping to expand that number tenfold as I continue writing songs, but I've always struggled to write what I would call an old-time reminiscent tune, you know, something with a simple, pure A-B form of sorts, and even this is pretty much just an A form. You know, my biggest influences growing up, especially in writing, were what the everyday 21-year-old girl in the middle of nowhere kind of grew up with, which was Taylor Swift, and then the internet. So, Japanese pop. And then, eventually, I found my way to bluegrass, which growing up in the Appalachian region, you really wouldn't expect to come last, but it did. And Kentucky Center for Traditional Music was a big help in that.
Well, I mean, it takes effort to maintain a music tradition.
Yeah, and there really wasn't anywhere in the region where I grew up, specifically. And so being able to immerse myself in a musical community for the first time ever, really, even though I always knew that I loved music, loved singing, loved playing instruments, that's something really special. And this song is a little bit about that wanderlust. It's called Dandelion.
Segue into talking about the Kentucky Center for Traditional Music, which I have always admired. I think it's just an incredible program to have right in our backyard. And old time is really something that you have to fight to keep alive sometimes. So having something like that right here is incredible to pass on to the younger generations. But I wanted to talk a little bit about that, and anyone can chime in. What's your experience been like at KCTM?
Yes. it's been nothing but positive.
I'm glad.
It's been great, and you know, all the instructors there, they're so ready to, you know, teach you and just be real with you 100%, and, you know, tell you, like, you have to love this music if you want to play it. And, you know, the music's not for everybody, but when it holds on to you, it holds on to you, and it doesn't want to let go.
Totally.
And, you know, getting to meet so many other people, you know, my age and, you know, other ages that, you know, you have something in common with, is, it's really, really fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To jump off that a little bit, so I was there not as a traditional music major, but I, you know, stepped into the program in my last couple semesters because I had, you know, I had some time free with extra credit hours that I needed to fill up. And what struck me was that everybody was there because they loved the music. There were people there that were not full-time traditional students. There were people in the classes that, I mean, me and Annabelle and I were in a class that had people who were in their 70s and 80s that were taking classes because they had a passion for the music and for playing music with people. And there were, you know, people in the ensembles that weren't in the major. It's this was a place on campus where if you saw another person in that building, you knew that they were in that building for the same reason you were, and it's because they want to make music with you, and they love living in that space.
Mm, totally.
And I feel like that is kind of what, to me, made it different than any other music program, or like just... honestly, like any other sort of form of music.
Yeah. You're not going to get into it because of fame or money, which is what a lot of other genres and styles are pervaded with. So it's
tell
like,
me now.
Yeah, I know exactly. Like, like, I mean, you have to really have a love for it. Bluegrass and old time is just so fueled with genuine and authentic love.
I've always admired that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's so human. And, you know, the songs that we sing and the songs we learn about, they have all been sung by so many different people and passed on. And that's one of the things that is just so fascinating is that a song that you sing today, you could trace back to the 1400s being sung in France or in England or Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about different people and how they interpreted that one song back in the 1400s can kind of distill it down into all these different songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll have three different songs that sound completely different. But if you go through and track the history, they all come from the same tune or the same ballad that was played. And to me, I think that what makes it so special and powerful is that it's all these different people's lives and experiences kind of just hammered into this, you know, this art.
Mm, you know? Totally. And we're so lucky to have that, like, to say that we're from the Bluegrass State, and This is our music, and it's so wonderful to be a part of that legacy, and especially for you all who are in the weeds of it, doing the on the front lines. So that's really, really wonderful. And that kind of brings me to a little bit of a side branch about just as the next generation of bluegrass old-time country folk artists. Since old-time music is old time, it's rooted in the past. How do you continue to write songs that reflect and honor the tradition and the legacy of that type of music, while also, you know, putting your own little flavor into it and bringing us into 2025 now, which is crazy. Especially Annabelle, I know you played an original of yours, if you want to talk about that.
We can't be afraid of change. Mm-hmm. That's one thing about the RL tradition that I think is so special, but forever we've gotten lost in it. And I think we see that just in society in general, in American society in general, this fear of why do things have to change when they're not broken? Why do we have to keep on, you know, tweaking these things? I liked it the old way. And with the oral tradition of bluegrass and old-time music, especially old-time music, every song, like Peyton was somewhat saying, is different from person to person that you meet. Violet does not play Ook-Pick Waltz the same as another fiddle contemporary might. No one plays two tunes the exact same way, even if they learned it from the same person. It was a lot of fun playing with Peyton today, in part because I was like, oh, we play this song different ways. Let me hold on.
Jubilee and the Cuckoo are two that we've actually done where people come in thinking of different versions of the song, and we, you know, are able to incorporate the parts of it that share the heart that we're able to make in this space.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what drew you to each other and how y'all ended up forming this trio we have here?
I think the thing that really drew us together was us realizing, wow, we blend really well with harmonies. We ought to try this.
It's all technical.
We all really like to play music together, and we seem like we'd be good bandmates. Let's try this.
Easy.
And
boom.
And it just, I think it happened one day you were going to go to Jim Webb's.
That's right.
And you were like, hey, I need some people to accompany me. Do you all want to come? And then it just, we never stopped.
So we've got a mutual friend, Jim Webb. And when I was in high school in Frankfurt, Jim taught me banjo. But Jim has a music shop down in Tomahawk, Kentucky, which is in Martin County. But he invited me to come play for a thing. And I was like, I don't have a solo set, but I have friends that might be able to come play with me. And so Violet and Annabelle were generous enough to come down, and we had already met. We'd met through Old Time Band, or at least that's how I met Violet and Annabelle. And we met through Old Time Band, directed by Nathan Kaiser, because my roommate at the time, Ash Culp, was also involved in the traditional music program and kind of brought me along. Yeah. And I realized I loved it. So
both of our, like,
Your first semester was also my first semester.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my first semester in the program, yeah. Even though it was my last year at Moorhead, was your first semester in the program.
And it was my first year at Moorhead.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's like perfectly aligned.
It worked really well.
And me and Annabelle got 2 years together, and we got a full year of living together under our belt, which was so fun.
I love it. I love a happy little accident. Those were always my favorite.
Yeah, it was an accident caused by our teacher, Nathan.
Well, I'm so thankful that happened, because now we're here and we're fiddling around all together in one place here again. But thank you all for coming on. Thanks for continuing the legacy of old-time music.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Thank you for continuing that on.
Oh my gosh, it takes a village. It really does. Totally. Well, the future of old-time is looking very bright with y'all. And once again, thanks for coming on. It's Violet and the Newsroom. Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. You're listening to Fiddling Around with Callista Case on 96.1 The Hound. And I'll see you next week.
We're Violet and the Newsroom, and you're listening to us on Fiddling Around. And for our last song today, we will be playing By the Waters of the James. And this song is by Robbie Wells, who is the uncle of one of our dear teachers, Jesse Wells. I hope you enjoy.
You've been listening to Fiddlin' Around with me, Callie Case, on 96.1 FM The Hound. From the heart of the Bluegrass State to the Big Apple itself, I'm bringing the jam session to your airwaves with the latest and greatest in bluegrass, folk, and Americana. I'll see you next week with a new episode. Follow us on Instagram @fiddlinaround_. And as always, roll on.